Listen up, maggots. We got targets inbound, so lock and load your senses and stand by for imminent contact.
If you love beer, you're in the Beer Army. So grab a frosty brew and get ready. It's time to liberate your senses. It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Oh, an action-packed show for you today. It's Mick Dagger.
And the General. And
this is Beer Army Engaged. Man, you have been a...
I missed you.
Yeah, I missed you too, buddy.
It's only been...
It's deja vu from last week.
It feels like it was a month or something. I don't know. It was a long weekend this past weekend. And so that when you're working through the weekend or whatever, well, I don't necessarily want to call it work per se, but when you attend a beer conference and then you're drinking from like all day, all into the evening or whatever, and your days start to blur. Yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of people would give the right leg to be working, and I'm doing air quotes there for what we do. But nah, it just seems like you're trying to catch up with stuff or whatever, and it kind of jams you up. But
you've just been traveling like crazy, man.
I have, I know we usually talk for like, it seems like 4 or 5 minutes before we talk about the beer, but this freaking beer, is this beer not awesome?
Oh, this beer is amazing.
And I know,
man.
And I know you, at first you're kind of like sad, like, what the hell? That doesn't look like a Nashville beer. And I couldn't help myself because, you know, we already talked about my trip a little bit going up to New York when we did Dogfish Head or whatever. But this other little brewery, they're only distributed in 2 counties on Long Island, way out eastern of Long Island. It's called Montauk from Montauk Brewing Company out of Montauk, New York.
Where?
Montauk.
Okay.
And the cool thing is this beer, it's a session IPA from Montauk Brewing Company coming at 4.9% ABV. And it is awesome. And the reason I'm so into it is because it's a session IPA, again, coming in at 4.9%. And since we're doing, you know, we have our session IPA, I've been drinking a lot of session IPAs. I think I've shared that with you before and our, you know, our listeners.
Still vertical
and stuff like
comparisons.
That. Right, right. Yeah. The nose on this thing is freaking amazing. I mean, even when you crack the can open, it's like...
It smells like heaven.
It's nuts. It's nuts. And so this thing's pouring a hazy yellow with 2 fingers of white foam. It's leaving good lacing for a session beer. It's got a huge nose and aroma of citrus like grapefruit and lemons. There is some pine, and you can smell the malt a little bit, but it's really that hop nose is just amazing. And the mouthfeel is... the taste, let's talk about the taste first, is very... citrus, obviously, but I want to say floral. Not that you're drinking flowers, but it tastes floral. Not just smells floral, but tastes it. And you can taste some biscuit in there, some toasted malt. And I pick up some crackers, which it must be from malt, obviously, or whatever. But and then again, the mouthfeel is light. It's crisp. It's refreshing. The body's light to medium. Very good carbonation. I think that has a lot to do with help making it so effervescent, you know, and that aroma. And I think it's just... A good overall descriptor for this beer is it's zesty. You know what I mean? I was kind of like, and I obviously lemon zest type flavors and the aroma you get, but it's like zesty as in just unique and you know, zeal and just different, you know, and I love it.
It's refreshing, man.
Yeah, dude, I bought
like a commercial Montauk Session IPA.
I bought
floral, effervescent.
I bought
malty, refreshing.
I bought a 6-pack. I was like, oh, I'll drink one of these and I'll bring the rest back. Well, I tore through that 6-pack, so I had to buy another 6-pack. And then my brother-in-law has helped me drink another 6-pack. I was like, son of a bitch, man.
Don't you love it when that happens, though?
Well, you know it's a good beer because, you know, not that we're prima donnas or anything, but we get our hands on a lot of beer that we don't have to pay for. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And so when I'm out buying beer, man, it's like, and I'm buying it again and again. It was damn good beer. And they have some other beers, too, but... I did not get a chance. I was an hour east. I didn't get a chance to visit their brewery because the couple days I was up there in the Hamptons or whatever, they were closed. They were only open like on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I went up to Rivershead, which was just north of us, and we did visit a couple of breweries like, what was it? Crooked Ladder Brewing Company or whatever. And that was really interesting. Just a really small brewery. There was a Long Island Brewing Company. Or no, I'm not Long Island. No shit. We are on Long Island. It was called Long Ireland Brewing Company. So the whole Irish spin and, you know, feel to it.
Right, right. And then, I'm imagining that type of accent.
And then Mustache Brewing Company or whatever. And they got the little must, and I was like, oh my God, from November and shit, right? I was like, I gotta get Mick a shirt, man, or something like that, but I wasn't able to or whatever. So I ran out of time. I wasn't able to check them out, and I was so freaking brokenhearted because I was like, I was getting a kick out of it, just checking out their stuff online or whatever. But Montauk Brewing Company, you can reach them at Montauk, that's spelled Montauk Brewing Co.com. And check them out. And they were established in 2012, so they're a fairly new brewery by three lifelong friends. They're working together for a solar panel installation firm. Their names are Eric Moss, Von Cotillo, and Joe Sullivan. Eric serves as the brewmaster and has a degree in finance from University of Colorado Boulder, baby.
Oh, hell yeah. That's why we know what he was drinking.
Exactly.
He was,
and then Von Cotillo serves as the CMO. He's the entrepreneur and, you know, basically the whole entrepreneur mindset, and he's what drives that. And he graduated from Villanova. And then Joe Sullivan is the CEO, and he has a degree in economics from Hamilton College, and he's really responsible for laying the foundation for this, for the whole brewery. But the cool thing is, in their title, if you go online, well, you know, one calls himself the brewmaster, another one calls himself the CMO, which I'm assuming stands for chief management officer, and the other one's the CEO, chief executive officer. All of them also have slash brewer. So all of them brew. And I think that's a pretty cool thing, you know, because a lot of guys will get together and one will be like, oh, you're focused on the marketing, you're focused on that, but they all brew. I think that was really cool. And
it could be titles meaning something else.
What?
It could be chief malt officer.
Hey, I'm with you.
And the other one, based off of your description, could be chief effervescence officer.
But I love the pictures on their website because they're basically in a little red shack. And I'm going to get into what that red shack is. But Long Island, they have a lot of windsurfing, surfers, you know, a whole beach-type community. Obviously, a lot of people from the city will escape to Hamptons. Hamptons is some of the, well, Montauk's past the Hamptons, but some of the most expensive real estate in the world, you know. It's like anybody and anybody, who's who in the zoo of the world, social, you know, elitists have a property up there. And
Billy Joe.
Yeah. But they started by borrowing brewing space from Cooperstown Brewing Company up in Milford, New York, which is out by, obviously, the Baseball Hall of Fame or whatever. And that's actually up by my in-laws, up if you go west of Albany area.
That's upstate.
Yeah, so that's a haul. You're talking about probably 2 to 3 hours for them when you look at how you have to get on the Long Island, get off, and go through the damn city and everything. But they did 535 barrels their first year and almost 2,000 beer barrels in 2013. And then shout out to Cotillo's father for offering up his little red woodworking shop across the public baseball field to help get them going, because these guys didn't have a lot of money. The banks were going to borrow the money or whatever. And they're basically brewing, sharing with friends that they went through high school and stuff like that. And they're like, hey, you know, and that's, you know, while they're working at a solar panel installation firm, that got the idea of starting a pub and all that stuff, you know, brew pub. And I'm pleased to say that they're currently getting ready to open as we speak. As you're probably listening to this, they are opening up the expansion of the new facility, 1,200 square feet, to have a max capacity doing 5,000 beer barrels a year. But that allows them to brew on-site. So they'll no longer be, you know, brewing off-site or contract brewing or anything like that.
Well, I noticed on the can it said brewed and canned by Montauk Brewing, Montauk, New York, and under special agreement, Westminster, Mass.
Right, so Massachusetts. So they just started going into cans this year, so I'm assuming that they're canning with another brewery,
right,
you know, in Massachusetts somewhere, you know, and so that's always interesting. But
that's great for them, man.
Yeah, no, it's awesome, and the beer is freaking awesome. But going back to the website, so you click on the page, the first image you have is just scrolling down, dude on the surfboard, hanging ten, big growler, he's chugging it down or whatever, you know, just embodying that whole. I mean, when you think of New York, you don't think surf's up, dude. You know what I mean? You just don't think that.
Right.
You know, you don't think fishing or anything like that. But, I mean, New York is a huge, you know, Long Island. I mean, there's a lot of that, you know. And, yeah, it just, it really helps break, I guess, what you think of, what's the words I'm looking for? You know, what your identity as New York. Oh,
yeah,
you think of the Big Apple.
Yeah,
you think of city. You think of concrete.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that crap. And
you just think of New York surrounded by rivers. You don't think of the actual ocean, which is off of Long Island.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But I did take the kids, deliberately went through the city. I wanted them to see the Freedom Tower and, know, the Empire State Building. Came in through the Holland Tunnel. Well, the Jersey Turnpike was so jacked up, man. I mean, I didn't want to wait to get up to the Washington, go through the Bronx or whatever, and, you know, not have to pay the fee. Because you're getting raped. I'm so freaking sick and tired.
You're just taking the ferry in, man.
The gas is so freaking expensive, bro. Then the freaking tolls. Like, okay, here's the example. $24 to go through the Holland Tunnel. Zip around. the southern part. Don't cross into Brooklyn.
That's just a tunnel.
Keep going. That's just one tunnel. Yeah. Come around to Midtown Tunnel to get off to get into Queens to keep going on to Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
It was $16 to go through the Midtown Tunnel. $40, bro.
That's average.
And about less than 30 minutes.
Doesn't matter how you enter the city. That's what it's going to cost.
The turnpike costs $10. The freaking Memorial Bridge in Delaware, you know, freaking Maryland. I mean, it's like, or you know, it's like $60 in tolls.
Is Mike's Roadhouse what is it? Mike's Roadhouse Rest.
It's not. Yeah, it's not called Mike's anymore. The Harley Davidson dealership or whatever going in. It was. I forgot the freaking name because I noticed that too. I was like, holy shit, it's not
awesome
Mike's anymore.
Harley Davidson museum right there.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's
used
awesome.
To be the largest.
You're talking about when you're going in from Maryland or no Delaware and Jersey.
Yeah,
right.
Delaware Memorial.
Yeah,
Bridge.
Yeah, Memorial Bridge. Yeah, no, it's not Mike's anymore. I forgot the damn name.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's still there, big Harley dealership and all that stuff. But, yeah, so that was my first time driving to the city because every single time I've been there, I'm walking around like the tourist or whatever. You know, and like I said last episode, you know, I didn't get my shit stolen like House Mouse Scott did in Central Park or whatever. But it was really cool to show the kids because we have kind of like, you know, the sky view roof or whatever. And so they're looking through the sunroofs or whatever you want to call it. And all of a sudden they, like, they break away from their stupid iPads and TVs. They're like, oh, my God. You know, and Katie's like, OMG. You know, I'm like, see what happens? And you guys, like, look around and, you know. So, no, it was really cool. It was, I definitely highly recommend that. I mean, to me, getting on to Long Island is a pain in the ass. A lot of things expensive. But, you know, the Italian bakeries and, you know, oh, my dude, you know, I could go into it. And I don't want to. That's the reason why last week I tried not to go into it too much. But it's hard not to talk about it. And of course, we had the Beer Bloggers Conference this weekend in Asheville. I think I'm going to carry some of that over to next week. We'll talk more about that next week because I know we've gone long in this segment. I do want to remind people: raffle tickets. You only got 9 or 10 days left, so go online, get your raffle tickets.
Yeah, and so what's up for grabs is awesome. Yeah, a trip to GABF.
And come visit us and come hang out with Mick Dagger.
We'll be there.
That's right.
We'll be there. And don't forget the runner up prize is tickets for Savor.
Yeah. Yeah. 2016 Savor. Or, yeah, 2006. And that's a food and beer, you know, pairing type festival. It's very unique. It's very different.
Huge.
Yeah. It's awesome. So it's more intimate, too, than what you think. But,
well, hell yeah. Stick around because, like Dustin was saying there, the general, Heroes Never Die, an awesome segment. It's the heart of Beer Army Engaged is coming up. And later on, Yikum to Sue, that stuff you just can't make up. It's an insane world, people. It doesn't take the news over the past week for you to realize that. But we're going to have some fun and just keep it here. And don't forget, beerarmy.org is your resource. Go there. Check out the back catalog of podcasts. You can also link to the store where your Beer Army swag. If you don't have any, get some. And as well, get your raffle tickets. Like you said, raffle tickets, only 10 days for your shot at that. So keep it here on Beer Army Engaged.
Go AWOL with Beer Army Radio. We're online and mobile at beerarmy.org.
Hey, Dustin, why do you get a beer t-shirt, not me?
Just go over to wearyourbeer.com. Get 20% off your order by using the promo code BEERARMY.
It's that easy?
It's that easy. Wearyourbeer.com.
Promo code BEERARMY?
Yep, and you get 20% off your order.
I'm going to wear my beer.
Go for it today.
Every soldier needs quality gear. Get yours at beerarmy.org. Hats, t-shirts, and more. Show Murphy he can't keep you down and announce to the world that you're in the Beer Army. Go to beerarmy.org. Do it. By the way, Murphy's a bitch.
It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Oh, well, welcome back. And Dustin, hey, man, guess where I was while you were gone?
Where were you at?
I spent some time at Beer Army Burger Company.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, man.
You drinking again?
Again? Really? Yeah. That leads to the idea that I stopped.
Yeah, no, I wish you were drinking with us. And I know we'll talk about it next week, because I know we don't have really the time in this week's show to talk about the Asheville trip. But Scott's out of freaking control, because he drove the whole way. Out of freaking control. How we don't get speeding tickets is beyond me. How we didn't crash is beyond me. But he passed one of his friends so damn fast, they called him on the cell. And like, what? And they're like, dude, you just blew by me, man. He's just like, oh, hey, man, what's up? Yeah, I mean, he was going so fast they couldn't keep up. You know what I mean?
Lead
it's
just, foot.
Yeah, yeah, it's out of control. But yeah, that was the Beer Bloggers Conference. Again, we'll talk about that next week, more about that. We'll be probably featuring some beers from that. I mean, we got so many good beers. Lazy Magnolia, because everybody that's coming from around the country brings beers from the respective areas. So getting exposed to beers that we can't get our hands on. On some more Duclaw. You know, with their Sweet Baby Jesus and some of these others, you know, just we've had that before. And But yeah, so I'm looking forward to that.
There's
but,
so much that is, geez. I mean, I can't speak for you, but there's just so much that has gone on for you in the past 2 weeks that it's,
yeah,
it's hard to encapsulate it into,
right.
No, into 30 to 40 minutes.
Well, that, you know, that reminds me, speaking of which, you know, we're talking about our podcast and stuff like that to people at this beer bloggers conference, because a lot of it's beer critics, beer writers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought, oh, that's really cool, you know, because Beer Army started as a blog, you know. And I said, well, we've kind of, you know, morphed into something bigger than that. And you try to be humble about it. But I was talking about our podcast, this, you know, what we do, Beer Army Engage on Beer Army Radio. And I showed them, you know, because they're always like trying to monetize or do this or do that or whatever. And I said, well, we have people pledge their support and allows us to fund our scholarships and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to remind everybody again, if you go to patreon.com, that's patreon.com/beerarmy, that's where you can pledge your support. And pledging your support is important because it allows us to fund the scholarships, which we're in the, getting ready here in the next couple of weeks here to announce the winners for this year of our scholarships. And, you know, that's, it's all about philanthropy for us. It's all about that altruism and stuff like that. And you, the listener, enables us to do that. So become a Beer Army super soldier. And that's what we call, you can be a regular soldier, which is the regular supporter, but you can be a super soldier by pledging your support. You get some extra little perks like special stickers and magnets and, you know, other, well, it depends on your pledge level. And, you know, we give you some tasty tidbits like the bloopers that you always do, the reel that like once a quarter or whatever I get a kick out of.
Got another one that's coming up soon.
Yeah, we, you know, and just stuff like that. So please pledge your support on Patreon. I also want to, I was really surprised while I was gone how many people have pledged their support through our memorial hall. And that's the dog tags that we hang in honor of fallen heroes. And that's in the Beer Army Burger Company. And it's really cool. And for $5, you can pledge, or not pledge, you can sponsor a fallen hero. And you can pick from somebody in our, you know, catalog, or I don't want to say catalog. What's the what I'm looking for?
Well, it's,
you
know, it's
the similar, book.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, or you, if you know somebody, or if you maybe had a grandfather served in World War II and you want to honor him, it's all about though honoring, and air quotes here, real heroes. Not, hey, I had a sex change operation, so that makes me a hero. Or hey, I throw a football and I make $40 million a year. You know, that's not being a hero in my eyes. Somebody who's willing to lay their life down so we can be free here, that to me is a hero.
Well, what's awesome is when people, you know, I had Mark Kirby and his sister over at Beer Army Burger Company. Yeah.
Mark's crazy, man.
Sunday before last.
I saw him post the picture on Instagram. I can't remember what group he was hanging out
with. Robot.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, they're in the backstage. I mean, that was crazy. That was a great photo.
What was awesome was, you know, when Mark was in there, we're sitting at the bar and talking. He's like, this place is awesome. And I was telling him about the, you know, the dog tags and everything. And it was just, when people hear about that, they're really taken aback and blown away by it.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And like you're saying, I mean, it's if you do want to sponsor a hero, and what he's talking about is the list of heroes that are right there if you're, you know, you don't know somebody.
You just want to be anonymous. Or
Afghanistan and Iraq fallen heroes.
Yeah, so from 2001, we have a catalog basically from 2001 forward till about a couple months ago of every person that's been killed in action, either Iraq or Afghanistan, fighting terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and right now, it's just a smaller list. It's just people that are either from North Carolina or based out of North Carolina, you know, North Carolina unit, whether it's Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, it doesn't matter. But again, if you know somebody, you can write it out on the form and we'll do it. Now, unfortunately, it's getting so popular. We've had people request like, well, do you have like a layout so I can see whose dog tags where? And I'm like, shit in that. That's going to be a lot more work for me, but it's the right thing to do. So I am getting together where we'll have like panel A, panel B, panel C, and then you'll have rows and columns like, you know, A1 or B4, and it will have the information. And so people, please be patient while I get that together, because I want to do that because it's important to me. I know other, you know, we could delegate it down, have somebody else do it. But just like I said before, I'm the one that put up every one of those tags. It gives me a special connection. It's almost, I know it sounds selfish, but it's like, I want to have that.
No, I get
you
it.
You know,
there's an honor in doing that.
Right. Really, it is. It pissed me off. Like every once in a while, a dog tag would slip out and drop on the ground. You should see me. I'm like, you know, don't let it hit the deck. You know what I mean? It's just like, because to me, it means something. Just like we talked about, like when you, desecrate the flag or whatever. It's just a piece of fabric made to other people, but it's what it symbolizes for me is the reason why it's important.
I know exactly what that is, man. When I've buried a few soldiers from. Yeah.
It's no different than Muslims Iraq, with the Quran. You know, they don't want the, you know, they don't desecrate the Quran, but yeah. So Memorial Hall honoring real heroes. But speaking of heroes,
it's that point. It's that time. This is it. I love what you bring to the table when it comes to this segment. Because in this crazy world, when things get mixed up, turned on their head, and you don't know what's going to happen, you never know who's going to step in the gap.
It is crazy. It is crazy what people think is acceptable in society. And, well, just give this a listen.
Well, an amazing rescue, and it was all caught on camera. A Kansas woman stops at nothing to save a toddler who was locked in a hot car. Take a look at this.
That's her trying to break the glass.
Wow.
That is Sarah Oropeza, and she frantically works to try to break the car's window and free the 2-year-old child who was left locked in that car in the 100-degree heat.
And I was just praying, like, break the window. She's going to die.
Boy, so emotional she was there. She smashed that window with a tire iron and then was able to get the little girl out. The couple who left the toddler, well, they say she's their niece. The county prosecutor in Kansas City is considering filing child endangerment charges against that couple and the family.
Wow. Yeah.
Dude.
Who? What? Wow.
She actually, when she's being interviewed, no, she was like, she's starting to break down and cry. She's like, just break the window. Because if, I don't know if you could hear it, but she's got a tire on. She is, the video showed, I mean, dude, she's going off, and the guy that's shooting the video, he's a good 30 feet away, and you're hearing that level of smacking, you know? And she's going to town on it. And so Sarah Oropeza, she was the manager at Famous Footwear in Merriam, Kansas. And what happened was there was a 16-year-old employee, Portia Blonde, who ran into the store screaming for help when she realized that this little girl was alone in the car outside. And I mean, dude, the car, the windows were totally rolled up. All the doors were locked. And the little girl, 2-year-old, covered in sweat. She looked in the back window. She was covered in sweat. She had her hair pulled back and sweat was just dripping off her. You know, so Sarah, you know, she's like, oh my God, man. So she gets a tire iron, man. She is going to town. There's other good Samaritans that joined to try to help. But I mean, they weren't really helping. They're kind of like watching, you know, more than anything, try to break this freaking window with a tire iron. And it's like they used multiple objects before it finally cracked enough. That's just amazing of what our windows and our automobiles are made out of, I mean, you know, for safety.
They make those devices.
Right, where you can just break through it or whatever. But a nurse on the scene, well, Sarah was talking about, she's like, I was just praying, break the window. She's going to die, you know, just break, break, break. And you see her just reaming time after time after time. A nurse on the scene gave the toddler medical attention until the paramedics arrived. And then an officer also bought diapers for the little girl because there weren't any in the car. It's like, who the hell's taking care of a 2-year-old, right? And so the two freaking adults, again, like the video said, claim to be that this was their niece, so this would be her aunt and uncle or whatever. And they're saying that they showed no emotion. Like, what the hell's the big deal? It's like 101 heat index, bro. You know, like, what are you doing, man, right?
Sorry, that's where you just knock them out, throw them in that car, roll up the windows and shut it.
Exactly, bro. It's like, oh, okay, man, here, I'm going to put you in this freaking van,
no,
man.
It's not a big deal.
Know?
What's the problem? It's
and
not a big
lock
deal.
Your ass in there. Dude, this is what blows me away. I mean, this almost makes it Yikem to Sue-ish, okay? Is that the only question they had for the police? I mean, the police, they were
the
ticketed
aunt and
for,
uncle?
Yeah. First of all, they were ticketed for child endangerment.
Good.
Okay. The authorities are considering tougher charges.
They
are
should.
You fucking kidding me?
It
You're considering?
Be, yeah.
You know, like, oh. But guess what their questions were for the cops? They had questions, you know, because the cop gives you the ticket and you're like, you have any questions? Like, yeah, I have a question. Guess what their question was?
What?
They want to know from the police if the insurance was going to pay to cover the cost of the window that was broken.
Are you kidding me?
Serious?
How do those cops keep their composure? I would have throat punched him.
Exactly, like scissor kicked, throat punched. Are you? You almost killed your niece, man. You probably would have if this lady wouldn't have jumped in. You know, our hero of the week, this, you know, for Heroes Never Die segment, being Sarah Oropeza. If it wasn't for her, well, not just her, but Portia Bland, who
alerted
somebody, and hey, get help, you know, good on her too, you know. So they're, I look at them as both heroes, you know. It's like, what the hell, people? What the hell? And I think we talked about, you know, the stroller incident or whatever with kids, like, you don't mean to. Remember I said one of the things about keeping the stroller out, I put the groceries in first because I don't want them sitting in a hot car because somebody comes up and talks to you before you know it, it's been a couple minutes, they're in the car. And the thing is, I don't want to start the car because I always worry that what about if somebody hijacked the car and my kids, I'm serious. Yeah, as a parent, you think about all these, or all I do anyways, from my anti-terrorism force protection. Yeah, that shit's always going on in my head. It never,
people you still do walk around. You still walk around your vehicle.
It's stupid, bro. It's stupid, man. It's just muscle memory where you think about, you know, what can happen or whatever. And, but, yeah, so anyways, these people suck. I wish, you know,
I am not going to give them the benefit of the doubt at all. There's none of that here when it comes to extreme heat. Look, I'm not giving them the benefit of the doubt. But maybe, just maybe, their statement, is insurance going to pay for it? Maybe they're just those awkward people that in stressful situations, they just can't help but be awkward. I doubt that's the case. I think they're real pricks. They were really more concerned about the glass on the car window.
I like your throw punch idea. That's what, actually, I like throwing them in the vehicle and let them be in there for a while.
Sorry,
I
mean, but my philosophy is when in doubt and somebody pisses you off, throat punch.
This is the thing. A two-year-old, I wouldn't leave by themselves. A two-year-old's too young to be left alone.
Oh, hell no, you don't.
And if there's two adults, one of them should have stayed. Like, yeah, that's the thing, right. I don't understand. Like, you what don't the leave. Fuck are you thinking, man? And the poor girl, she's sweat. I can only imagine. I can picture it. You know, the sweat pouring out. I mean, she put her hair up. I mean, a two-year-old puts her hair up like 2 years old, man. Usually, I mean, they're still in diapers. You know what I mean? It's like, it's amazing, bro. It's amazing, man. So,
well, good on that teen that alerted.
Yeah. Portia Bland, and then who alerted the 16-year-old famous footwear employee who alerted her manager, Sarah Orapiza, who was the one that was, you could hear breaking, and she was the one that was being interviewed there a little bit. So,
well, cheers to Sarah and Portia.
Yeah.
Man. Well, speaking of a child in a hot car, you said this is almost a yikum to sue because you can't make up the stupidity of this aunt and uncle.
Stupid, man.
Well, I have a similar one, and wait till you hear
up. Do you really?
Yeah.
So this isn't the isolated incident then, huh?
No.
Oh, my God.
It's not.
Well, I got, you know, how about a college student blowing $90,000 and then they realize they're short for tuition their senior year and want to blame their parents for it.
Yeah. Because, you know, personal accountability. That's so freaking, that's so 1980. Yeah. That's coming your way, Yikum Tasu. Keep it here on Beer Army Engaged.
Hey, Dustin, where do I get a Family Guy t-shirt?
Is that Cleveland or is that Mick?
Oh, it's Mick. I just sound like Cleveland.
Go over to TVMovieDepot.com and get clothing from all your favorite TV shows and movies.
Don't forget, it's the promo code BEERARMY. That'll get you 20% off.
That's TVMovieDepot.com.
On the battlefield of beer, an informed soldier is a good soldier. Learn more about the Beer Army Foundation. Go to BEERARMY.org. Get informed about beer, upcoming events, festivals, and community outreach that the Beer Army provides and supports. The revolution starts with you at BeerArmy.org.
Beer Army Engaged.
Hey, don't forget, if you're looking for a kick-ass Beer Army hat, I'm wearing one. I've got the trucker cap on.
I got one.
Yeah. You can find it there. Go to BeerArmy.org. You can link to the store. Definitely. And as well, plenty of other goodies up there for you to peruse. How about the back catalog of Beer Army Engage? A lot of great shows, a lot of awesome beers featured. And the beer you brought today, this Montauk Session IPA. I'm already done with mine, man. And
What's really cool is that they don't even name the beer. It's just Session IPA. They use the style as the name. You know, I thought that was pretty cool. Kind of like a throwback type style, you know?
Yeah.
So
I'm sad.
You know, something that we were talking about during the break, I forgot. I wanted to make sure I brought it up. His old house mouse, Scott. We're going to have to get him up. I think next week to defend himself because...
Defend himself?
Yes, because because while he was driving like a freaking madman and I thought I was going to die, we were listening to last week's show.
Yeah, wait a minute. That is nothing new.
No, I know.
You were elected to ride with him.
No, I know, but I get work done. Well, I try to while he's killing me. But he freaking... So we're listening to last week's show. And all of a sudden, I wasn't really listening to it because I already listened to it, you know? So I'm doing work. You know how you kind of just have shit going on in the background, noise or music or whatever, and you kind of got tuned out. It's like white noise for you, you know? And he's like, "You dirty bastards." And I'm like, "What?" He's like, and I'm like, and he was talking about, I remember how the opening of last week's, we talked about, I said, you know, he helped that girl move down from New York City. And I said, "Well, can we say girlfriend? I don't know." I said, "A friend who is a girl." I said, "I haven't checked his Facebook profile." He said, "No, we're girlfriends. She's my girlfriend." I'm like, "Oh, so newsflash, everybody. House Mouse Scott is off the market." So all you ladies, I can hear it already now. Eastern North Carolina, their hearts breaking. House Mouse Scott is a taken man.
I think I know his test, and I think of why he is saying that it's his girlfriend.
Oh, really?
I think she knows the proper cheese to bread ratio on a grilled cheese.
I don't know.
Because remember how angry he got?
Yeah. I will say her name is Amanda. I've met her a couple of times. She seems like a really nice lady. I think she's out of his league. That's just me. I'm going on a limb. I'm going to call my shot. I think she's outside his league. But I don't know. Maybe she has a soft spot for old crusty, or not old, young crusty. No, he's not even crusty. I mean, young, wet behind the ears redneck.
Maybe,
you know what I mean?
Maybe she likes
Busters
aged,
in training.
Maybe she likes aged cheese. Because you know that's what's lying at the heart of Scott Andrews is nothing but a block of Velveeta.
Listen, dude, you're more of a cheesemonger than he is. And I've told him that. He's like, whatever. I said, trust me. I said, you're more of a cheese aficionado than he is.
Well, yeah.
You don't. No. He likes stuff wrapped in plastic that'll last a year. You know what I mean? At room temperature. You don't. You know what I mean? So I'm calling you out, Scott. You can defend yourself next week on the show.
Yeah, I don't know of anybody that's ever brought a block of Velveeta to a beer tasting. Oh, man. I'm tearing up over here.
I know, man. It's crazy.
Well, welcome to the family. Yeah. She says she seems like a really cool chick.
No, she does. She does. But, you know, I had to get the pump lubed. Lubed. I don't really want to say lubed.
Wow.
Primed. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Save that. No, I had to get the pump primed for this favorite segment of ours, you know? Because, you know, we got some crazy stuff going on out there in the world. So, you know.
Just a bunch of stuff you can't make up. So let's yick them to soup. So, Dustin, we got to tie back to the insanity of the stupidity of that aunt and uncle from Heroes
Never Die. Yeah, you teased it. Yeah, you talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what's going on?
Aunt and uncle too worried about, you know.
The car,
The glass and the windows of their car, their insurance is going to pay for it.
Yeah, not killing their niece, you know.
Yeah, well, and good on those two heroes that stepped up and saved the kid. But firefighters responded in China to a call about a toddler locked in a hot car in Yiwu, the city of Yiwu.
Okay.
The kid was sitting in the driver's seat of the car crying and prying at the glass. Could you imagine that visual, man?
Oh, my God, dude.
And locksmiths were already on the scene trying to open the door to save the boy.
Locksmiths? How about a freaking, like, bust out the wind?
Let me get to it.
Sorry, dude.
All right. But the kid... This is the deal. The kid had reportedly been trapped by that point for about an hour.
Wow.
So, I mean, that visual just sends chills down my spine.
Oh, yeah.
But the boy's condition was worsening. Firefighters mentioned, let's break the windows. Let's save this kid. And a witness reports that the boy's mom balked at the idea, pleading with them to let the locksmiths keep trying instead because she didn't want the windows on her BMW smashed.
The mother.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But the firefighters pretty much just said,
fuck you.
Screw you, bitch. Yeah.
How do you say fuck you in Chinese?
And smash the window and retrieve the child. So he's been saved. But could you imagine that?
Well, no, I'm just...
You can't... I mean, it's insane. It's hard to believe that people even think this way.
I don't, please let the locks... I mean, the kid... You're right, man. The whole visual... of somebody prying, I'm blown away. I'm speechless, man.
The craziest thing is, and I'm not a fan of the organization PETA. They are.
yeah, no, I know.
Purport themselves to be something they really aren't.
Yeah.
But they did do a video. I believe it was PETA. It was somebody. But the video has merit. It was people, they challenged people to sit in a hot car in 90 degree plus weather with the windows up. See what it's like to be like a child or an animal locked in a car, and people couldn't last 10 minutes. They tapped out. They hit this buzzer after 10 minutes.
Yeah, I remember there used to be when I was stationed in Okinawa, they used to have this reality show, how long, and they put water out there, and they do these crazy stunts. One of them was put you in on a beach in this enclosed plastic box, basically, and there was three of them, and whoever lasted the longest won, like, the money or the prize. And I used to be like, man, you people are freaking nuts, man. It's just crazy, man, this craziness. But, yeah, I think I got to get away from that because it'll... If we talk about it, I'm going to get pissed off. So let me just jump into our next.
I just can't believe. I mean, I wouldn't. I just can't believe a mother would opt to save the windows on her BMW than save her child.
Yeah, it makes you wonder. That's where I feel like, you know, losing faith in the human species. I don't care, again, what sex, what race you are. It's just, wow.
Well, that's what happens when you lose a sense of community, man.
Anyway, so it's kind of like some people who, I swear, there's people who have lost their minds. And it amazes me, college students, the stupid stuff that they will do. Okay.
That's not part of being in college.
It is, but what if you had, I don't know what the average cost to go to school is, 30, 40,000 to probably like a public university or whatever, four years.
Yeah, on the low end.
Maybe 50, 60. Okay, maybe 70.
You're going to a four-year school.
Okay, how about 80,000? Okay, how about you had $90,000?
I wish.
You didn't ran out of money before your senior year. Okay?
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Here, give a listen to this.
Maybe they should have taught me how to budget a little bit more carefully. No, I mean it. They never sat me down and it had a real serious talk about it. They said there was nothing they could do to help me anyway. They're not being honest with me saying they don't have it because my dad worked for a million years and they have a retirement account.
What the hell?
So that was
is that all about?
So that was a 22-year-old college junior student that will go by the name of Kim, who was on the Burt Show, which is a radio show. And there's multiple outtakes from that show where they're talking to her. But basically, she blew through a $90,000 college fund set up by her grandparents, spending the money on clothes, a trip to Europe. And she talks about later on how the trip to Europe was part of her education and all this other stuff. And now she doesn't have enough money.
Fucking French guys is so educational.
She doesn't have enough money.
I learned a lot about gonorrhea.
She doesn't have enough money to finish her senior year at school. And then she has the audacity to talk about, she thinks that it's her parents' fault for not teaching her about how to budget. And then it goes further on to say, like, well, they have a bunch of money, they should just cover. Like, what are you doing? What do you mean? In the words of Scott Andrews, house mouse Scott, what do you mean?
I love how she's blaming somebody else for not teaching her personal accountability. That is priceless.
I was just like, wow, man. And it's like,
it's your fault I don't have personal accountability.
Yeah, I'm just like, how do you, I don't know. I'm just blown away. 90 grand, though, that her grandparents gave her. She burned through it. And I was like, wow. Just wow, man. That's all you can say. It's like, wow. You gotta love it,
man. Sorry, but she's probably in a bunch of Snapchat and Vine videos with a hashtag do it for state.
Oh, my gosh.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, well, just be safe researching that hashtag. Seriously. My God. Yeah. That is, I'm sorry, but that whole thing is blaming other people for your lack of personal accountability.
Yeah.
Is the epitome of no self-assessment, no self-awareness, no self-introspection, nothing. Nothing.
No, it couldn't be my fault. Ever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I wonder how many sex toys she bought with 90 grand. Probably a few.
Maybe she's the one flinging. Maybe she goes to school in Portland. I don't know.
Why? Why are you bringing that up?
Yeah, because you told me about,
because you know exactly where I'm going into. Yeah, yeah, you do. You know, being in the military, those of you that are, you know, when you're leaving, when you're driving on post or whatnot, you will see like combat boots hanging over the power line.
Yep.
Right? Yep. What does that stand for?
Yeah. Hey, peace out, bitches.
Yeah. I'm done. End of my enlistment.
Usually it's the Lance Corporal types, maybe, you know, the E3s, E4s. I don't think I've seen too many lieutenants or captains throwing their boots up for, you know, gunnery sergeants or anything like that, throwing their boots up. But yeah. Yeah.
Well, imagine dildos and sex toys hanging from power lines. Can you?
I'm trying not to, but okay.
Your trip to Portland a few months ago, you didn't see any?
I saw some crazy stuff, but...
Did you see any sex toys hanging from power lines?
I did not.
Well, maybe you should have been looking up, because that's apparently exactly what's happening.
Folks who are definitely not laughing are the utility companies and the city of Portland. They've been removing these things for the last couple weeks, at least. No one's come up with a definitive number, but the city, Pacific Power, and PGE each say several have been taken down.
Think those things should be removed?
I'd leave them alone. Why spend the money on it? Keep Portland weird, you know?
Keep Portland weird.
Some old lady, they're like, leave the dildos up there. I might get a ladder later. I'm sorry, but.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Talking about airing your dirty laundry right there.
I keep Portland crazy, you know?
Keep Portland weird.
Yeah, nah, I don't know.
They don't know why people are doing this. But they take them down and then more get thrown up there.
I don't know, man, but, you know, it is. You got to love it, man. Pimping
ain't easy, I guess, for ladies. I mean,
I don't know. It just, whether you're a college student, can't figure out how to budget $90,000 to get through 4 years of school, or, you just have so much disposable income, you can take sex toys and throw them up on power lines or whatever, and you're like the phantom.
No, the sex toys being thrown up on power lines are obviously from women whose parents didn't teach them how to change batteries.
I guess. I don't know. I'd like to throw people who are stupid enough to think it's okay to lock their kids in hot cars up on the power lines, you know, that I would definitely have to go do that. But
oh, there you go. Throw idiots who leave children in hot cars over power lines with dildos wrapped around them.
Yeah, it's like, wow. Anyway,
there's a visual.
Yeah.
Well, that'll do it for Beer Army Engaged. Man, it got real, didn't it?
Got silly.
Wild show. Make sure you're back next week. We'll feature another awesome beer. And if you want to check out the beer we featured today, Montauk Session IPA, hit up the show notes. Click on the image if you're listening on iTunes. You can also get the show notes right there on Patreon if you're listening through Patreon. And everywhere else that you can take in the awesome episodes that are Beer Army Engaged. So see you next week.
Rounds out.
Beer Army Radio.
Hey, Mick, I found... I say fuck you in Chinese.
Great.
So the next time I see a mother or their toddler and they don't want to speak to one, DNA.
DNA.
That's fuck you in Chinese.
Konnichiwa.
We're idiots.
I'm glad you finally realized that.